Patient shoots nurse, nurses fired after the snowstorm, and becoming a nurse mid-career. Plus, we'll take a look at Army nursing. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the show this week. We have a lot going on in this episode, including a great interview segment with Second Lieutenant Lydia Cristobal, who's an Army Reserve nurse. And I've been trying to get an Army nurse on for a career interview segment probably for about a year now, and finally was able to hook up with somebody involved with Army PR back at a Blog World Expo in October of 2009. And we finally connected with an Army nurse and were able to bring Lydia on the show. And she talks a little bit about why she's in Army nursing and what Army nursing provides for her as benefit. So I'm interested to hear back your reactions on that segment later on in this show. Of course, we've got our regular news segments, some of them a little controversial. We'll talk about that here in just a sec. But first of all, I especially want to welcome all of our brand new listeners. And I know we have a lot of brand new listeners every week. So a lot of you are spreading the word about the Nursing Show, telling your friends how easy it is to just go into iTunes and click to subscribe automatically for free to The Nursing Show. So I hope you all are taking advantage of that, whether it's through iTunes, Zune Marketplace, or another automatic podcasting catching device or software. In the meantime, though, don't forget you can find out a lot more, listen to shows, and follow up on stories in each and every episode over at nursingshow.com. Right at the top of the page, there's a link for show notes, and you click on that, you'll see the most recent episode right there at the top of the page, and then you can scroll down and go back in time through past episodes to find a particular article, a particular news item, or some additional follow-up resources for a tip of the week. All of that information is always provided. It's important for me to give you what you need to take the short bits of information I give you and run with them, applying them to your own nursing practice wherever and however you might be working as a nurse. You could also get back in touch with me by leaving a comment on any of those show notes articles or any article at the Nursing Show site. And of course, you can always get in touch with me by email. Don't forget, our email address is now nursingshow@gmail.com. Send me an email to nursingshow@gmail.com. I'll get back to you right away and chat with you and maybe bring your email up here on the show. And that's a great way to catch up with me as well. Remember, send any comments, links for news items, or corrections, especially corrections. If I've misspoken something, I want to make sure we get the information correct for the Nursing Show listeners. Time now to jump on into this week's news items, and I'll lead off with an alarming story from Connecticut about a male nurse, who was shot 3 times by a belligerent patient in a hospital in Danbury, Connecticut. I want to make sure I say that correctly, or I'm going to get irate emails from all of the Danbury nurses. But this was an alarming story just because we've had a lot of discussions over the past couple of weeks about violence against nurses and how many nurses experience some form of violence against themselves in the course of a year. And Of course, this article leapt right out at me. Nurse involved with dealing with this patient. The patient somehow had a gun in the hospital, produced the gun, and shot at the nurse. The nurse was struck 3 times before the patient was tackled by security guards and police officers, and the gun was wrestled away from him. Now, the patient shot himself in the leg during the scuffle for the gun. The patient was hospitalized briefly and then released into police custody. At the time of this article, and this happened, I think, last week, the nurse was still in the hospital, but they did not say anything more about the nurse's condition. But this just brings up to me that we really need to be very careful with our handling our patients. And if we have a patient who is had behavioral issues, and it doesn't really say here what the patient is in this hospital for, but any patient who might potentially have behavioral problems, and that could be caused by medications we're giving them, so we have to really look at side effects and things like that. We should be making sure that the patient has put their personal belongings in a place where we know where things are. We should not be afraid to ask the question. If we worried that the patient has a weapon, ask that question. Do you have anything in there that might harm yourself or somebody else? Because we want to make sure that we put that in a safe place and you can have it back possibly at the end of your stay. That's something that we should be asking our patients. As things like this seem to happen more and more frequently, it becomes an increasing problem. Now, this patient was 85 years old, but still had a gun and was, when he was approached by a nurse, shot three times at the nurse before he was tackled. And so it just goes to show you, and you know, it's not necessarily that gangbanger that has come up from the ER with a traumatic injury. It could be an 85-year-old patient also causing issues. And this could be in a case of dementia from a patient with altered mental status due to an injury or just overall health condition. And so we just need to be vigilant. And I talk about this a lot on my EMS podcast for EMTs and paramedics when I end my shows talking about scene safety, because there's been so many issues surrounding injuries and deaths in that field related to non-awareness of what's going on in the scene around you. And it just, you can't relax even in the hospital, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. In this day and age, people are becoming increasingly violent for whatever reason, at least anecdotally, that seems to be the case. Moving right along from nursing being fired on to nurses being fired. And this is a story that came up from Washington, D.C. Nurses were fired following the spate of bad snowstorms in early and mid-February when they did not come in to the Washington Hospital Center. Nurses who were not coming into work during the snowstorms were fired for one reason or another because of non-attendance. And the nurses' union has been reporting to the Post that 250 nurses at some point were unable to make it into work there during the snowstorm, but that the 11 nurses and five other staffers were dismissed regardless. Now, you know, this is one of those where you have to kind of have an inside baseball kind of view of things. I wonder if this was just one of those last straw items where these may have been people that were not following their attendance policies strictly. They were very liberal in taking time off. And we don't know this is the case, but a lot of people missed work during the snowstorms. That 11 people were singled out in the midst of that seems rather odd to me and makes me wonder if there was not something else going on, some other personnel issues at fault or here where this situation was not just simply them not coming to work. I mean, if you don't come to work and the hospital's, you know, two blocks away, you can walk that far. So we don't know what the situation is, but what's the policy in your facility, in your hospital, in your outpatient clinic, at your doctor's office, or in your community or public health nursing field? How do you have to be responsible to getting patient care to your patients during a disaster situation? And that's, you know, this snowstorm struck the Central Atlantic area where I live here quite hard, and there were people that were unable to get to work for a day or two. They were blocked in, and it made very difficult for them to get out. What is your responsibility to your employer during those types of situations? To arrange either a ride, to walk to where a ride can get to you, you need to really ask those questions when you're being hired, or review your workplace's policies so that you're understanding what's going on there. So it's just a kind of a cautionary tale for you. Moving right along to nurses being fired, we'll look at new nurses being hired as we wrap up the segment here. Looking at the nursing profession, and I know this was the case when I moved into nursing. I was a mid-career switch to nursing from the EMS profession. And heck, I mean, EMS profession was a mid-career switch. So I've kind of moved into healthcare as a change mid-career. But the nursing profession has provided an opportunity for many people who may have at one time wanted to become a nurse and maybe for whatever reason went into other career paths. And so now we have an opportunity for them to become a nurse and come in and change their career and get training and enter the career field either as an LPN, an RN, or some other variation of healthcare in associated with nursing, even a CNA or something like that. And so I just I'm wondering if you're seeing what I'm seeing. I'm sure that might be the case, but I'd love to hear back from you. So send those emails in to nursingshow@gmail.com would be the best place to do that. You can also leave a comment directly on this particular episode's show notes. But let me know if you either are a nurse who switched mid-career or perhaps have seen a lot of those people coming in and what your thoughts are about people switching careers to nursing after a period of time doing something completely different. Today's tip of the week is really a nursing career tip, and we're going to be interviewing, as I said earlier, Lydia Cristobal, who is a nurse with the Army Reserve, but outside of the Army nursing field, she is also actively involved in nursing and health administration, working, and she was a graduate of New York University, worked through a assistant directorship of nursing, clinical director, assistant administrator in hospital situations and long-term care, eventually moving in to become the assistant administrator in Care One in Livingston, New Jersey. She's an RN, board certified in gerontology, an EMTB, and a combat medic instructor with the Army, as well as a second lieutenant. She started out as an LPN, worked her way up, and recently has been commissioned an officer in the Army as she achieved her RN and her bachelor's degree. So I'm excited to have this interview with Lydia, and she talks a lot about some of the things that nursing in the Army brought to her and some of the opportunities that were presented to her both for education, training, and personal growth and leadership along the way. Let's hear what Lydia has to say. Hi, this is Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and I'm here with a special nursing show interview with Lydia Cristobal, who is here from the Army nursing career point of view, going to be talking with us about what it means to be an Army nurse, how she became an Army nurse, and we'll see where the questions go. Hi, Lydia. It's Jamie. Welcome to the Nursing Show.
Hi. Thank you. It's a pleasure. I'm excited, actually.
Well, that's great. It's fun. We do all these interviews and find out about different career paths in nursing. And I've been trying to find somebody in the Army nursing or Armed Forces nursing career paths for quite some time. And I was really happy to find out that I was going to be able to hook up with you. And so my first question I always ask in these interviews is, tell us how you got into the nursing career field in general, and what direction did you go, and what kind of schooling path did you take?
Okay, well, since I was a kid, I always wanted to follow my grandfather's footsteps as a general surgeon. When my family emigrated here in the U.S., my parents told me to take nursing as my pre-med in the meantime. Well, I did take nursing and eventually decided to stay. What kind of educational path I followed? Well, since my family and I were not really aware of the possible resources we can use to further my education, because, you know, in the Philippines, because I was born and raised in the Philippines, everything was paid in full. So I have no idea about financial aid and all that. So my mom's friend told me to take the LPN course first, since it is only a year. So as soon as I graduated that course, I got married and stayed working as a licensed practical nurse. I eventually got promoted to a charge nurse and then to a unit manager. Then I realized I cannot get promoted to a director if I do not have at least a baccalaureate degree. So I quit my job and took the accelerated nursing program in New York University. I chose NYU because they have a bridge program towards my goal of master's in nursing administration. currently I am still in that program, and of course it will not end there. Most likely I will continue my education until I obtain a doctorate in healthcare administration. So that's kind of where I went into nursing. In totality, I had various experiences in nursing, with geriatrics being my specialty. So a total of my nursing career, 16 years. So 7 years of med-surg also, 15 months of cardiothoracic surgery, and 3 months of emergency care. So
that's quite a bundle there. And, you know, you're the first person I've interviewed that seemed like you had a plan to continue on towards your education. I don't mean that as a slight to any of the other interviewees that are listening, but I just, it's very interesting to hear you. You sound like you've got it all really spelled out exactly what your goals are and how you want to move forward in your nursing education.
I think what happened on my case, the reason that it seems like I have a very strong plan is because I did the opposite way. I worked all my life first before I got the actual education, whereas, you know, other nurses that I've met, especially my classmates in NYU who, you know, most of them went into nursing when they've done several careers in their lives already. Some of them have a baccalaureate in another field, a master's, double master's in another field, and, you know, then wanted to take a baccalaureate degree in nursing. I, on the other hand, just work, you know, in different varieties or different scope of practices. And then I realized, like, wait a minute, you know, I have too much hands-on now. You know, my resume is has a huge diversity, and it's a degree I'm lacking. So, you know, I came to a point where I've tasted med-surg, I've tasted cardiothoracic surgery, I've tasted emergency care. What do I really want? From those experiences, that's when I told myself, well, okay, I think this is where I want to go. And obviously, what happened to my life is the path that led me to healthcare administration is after serving in the military. And I figured that taking care of, you know, a group of patients, you know, one at a time is not enough for me to make that change. I guess when my turning point was because I served during Operation Enduring Freedom, and I took care of the wounded soldiers in Iraq, and that was when I told myself, oh my God, you know, I've seen all these injustices, and I'm not just going to stop here and do nothing about it. And that's when, you know, I met my friends and they said, well, if you really want to make that change, that was before Obama came up with the change. I figured, like, oh my God, you know, there's so much that I needed to change because I'm also disappointed with the Medicare and the Medicaid for our geriatric population. And I said, this is not right. And I need to make that change. And I told myself I really need to have good credentials and restructure the healthcare system. And that's why I am focused on getting my degree in healthcare administration. So that's my drama right there.
Well, that's okay. It's all right. Well, let's move on into how you got into Army nursing, because at what point did you enter the Army to get to work as a nurse, and how did that come about?
Enough, since I received my LPN license, the Army tried to keep sending me recruitment packages. It showed me a picture of an LPN working with high-tech medical equipment and enticed me that I can do it part-time. Unfortunately, at that time, my husband did not allow me to join the military. After a few years, I was preparing for a divorce. I figured it was a good opportunity for me to leave everything around me at that time and heal my broken heart. I made the right decision in not only trying to reflect on my life and start all over again, but the Army made me into who I am now. So as soon as I came home from basic training, the divorce was finalized and I started a new life, the Army trained me to be strong, have faith in myself, and aim well to reach my goals. I developed an attitude that will not let anything or anyone hinder me to accomplish my dreams. I'm the driver of my path and a proud U.S. Army soldier. And interestingly enough, how tomorrow, actually, I will be taking my oath as a second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. So I started in, as a specialist, as an LPN, and now I'm a staff sergeant, and tomorrow I'll be taking my oath as a second lieutenant.
Now, what's the thing you find most rewarding as being an Army nurse? I'm assuming now you're in the reserve now, or are you still active duty?
Yes, I came in as an Army reserve, and I got activated during the war. My status is still in the Army Reserve. I'm a combat medic instructor and a staff sergeant. The benefits, the most rewarding part, there are many benefits. One is leadership and then mentorship, teamwork, discipline, networking, educational opportunities, variety of scope of practice. You know, any nurse can go to any kind of chosen field, and a variety of support systems. I mean, the military has so many family group support, the veterans group, meeting with other branches. So there's so many things that anyone can benefit from being in the Army. Now, for the most challenging part of being an Army nurse is, is when I have to leave home to serve. Although I am single, but still it hurts me to leave my loving dog and cat. When I served during Operation Enduring Freedom, my 55-gallon reef tank slowly died until all were dead when I got home. Regardless if I hired a professional to watch over my tank once a month and my brother to maintain it daily. I suppose the corals and fishes needed mommy's touch that they slowly died. I mean, these are just pets. I know it must be harder for other soldiers to leave their spouse and children. So that's the only challenging part, but the rest are just so many benefits that that is to get if anyone would decide to be in Army nursing.
Great. Well, Lydia, I guess one wrap-up thought, you know, as I'm looking here, and as you look out at your nursing career and moving forward, are you planning on staying in the Army Reserve for the remainder of your nursing career? Is this something that you anticipate that you'll have opportunities to move forward as you push towards your doctorate and beyond?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because what I'm excited now that I'm going to be an officer, and because it's what's great about the Army is obviously as you go up through the ranks, before you go up to the ranks, you get to be trained. One of the things that many benefits of being in the military is not just nursing. Army nursing is for individuals who want diversity, discipline, and leadership. And with Army values, there are the loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. All these attributes are the 7 Army values. Using these in our daily work will produce effective and impressive results. These are the values that will help us be successful in every challenge that we face. You know, Army nursing is a whole different ballgame. Not only does it focus on patient care, but promotes research, leadership to improve operational systems. The goal in the military is to learn and grow. Each level of rank is mandated to attend military academic training before they can be eligible for promotion. So in my case, my resume is filled with diversity based on the different Army training I received and other resources, such as being part of American Corporate Partners. I was lucky to be paired with Renee Madden, Vice President of Global Operations in Morgan Stanley. I also met Margaret Burke from Sloan Kettering Hospital Administration, whom I'm excited to learn from. And I'm sure in the future I'll be meeting other people who would mentor me, and that's where I will get my experiences and will guide me more through the path and other training that I will receive in the Army. So it's just so many benefits.
Well, Lydia, I really want to thank you for sharing your experiences and your career path as an Army nurse. It just sounds like it's been a wonderful direction for you, and it may well be the perfect direction for somebody listening to this program, looking forward to a change in career with a lot of opportunity. And it sounds as if that Army Nursing offers that opportunity to nurses in a variety of different directions.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the NYU programs that I attended, and I actually was one of the proctors because we had a screening of Baghdad ER, and the other nurses were actually impressed by what they saw on how the Army nursing team, well, the Army nursing and medical team, how it was impressive and how they took care of the soldiers, you know, coming from from the desert and going into the ER, and how they quickly and effectively treated the patients. And they said, what kind of training did we get? Well, it's really more of the accountability and teamwork. And sometimes it's not what we always see in the civilian sector, because, you know, sometimes we're limited and sometimes our training is not enough in what we see in the civilian world. And in the military, it's just a totally whole different ballgame. And I'm sure a lot of people will benefit from that training.
Well, it's really excellent. And I want to thank you for participating in this interview for the Nursing Show. And maybe we'll have to follow up with you and talk a little bit about hospital administration directions and how that career path is working out as well, because I think that's something I haven't touched on either. And certainly that we need qualified and experienced nurse administrators, just as we need qualified and experienced nurse expertise in other specialties as well.
Thank you. And I'm also one of those nurses who want to try to follow Florence Nightingale, because Florence Nightingale was a hospital administrator.
That's I never really thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right.
Well, Florence Nightingale started all that research in nursing, hospital administrator. And hey, Florence Nightingale, she was the one who got into and took care of the wounded soldiers, right?
Right. So she was an Army nurse and did it all. You've got it. Seems like you've got it all locked up there, Lydia.
Thank you. I just wanted to, you know, do so to help the population and make the healthcare better for our citizens and, you know, self proudly as a soldier.
I want to thank Lydia for joining us and remind you that if you're interested in Army nursing, actually Lydia can put you in touch with someone to get some more information if there is a program that might be a good fit for you, either in the active duty service or as an Army Reserve nurse. And if you want to catch up with her, she said it was all right to share her email address. So you can go ahead and contact her at lydia.cristobal@us.army.mil, and that's lyda.cristobal@us.army.mil. And that is how you can catch up with Lydia. Lydia, thanks a lot for joining us and for sharing all of your great experiences and information about Army nursing with the Nursing Show listeners. And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to remind all of you that you can find a lot more information, including links to everything discussed in this and every other episode, over at nursingshow.com. You'll find links to the show notes right there at the top of the page under the show notes link. You can also look back and check out all of the great articles and other information you'll find available at nursingshow.com. If you want to comment on this episode or any other episode, you can, of course, comment on any article at the Nursing Show site. There's a comments link. You can also send us email in. Our new email address is nursingshow@gmail.com, nursingshow@gmail.com. Catch us by email. Send us in your tips, suggestions, links to news items, and yes, corrections, because we want to make sure we have the best possible information here available for you on the Nursing Show. Don't forget, you can also find me on Twitter and Facebook under the handle PodMedic, and you can also find and become a fan of the Nursing Show fan page. You'll get updates, information, and usually early access to the Nursing Show. When I record it, I post the links up there earlier in the week. Time to wrap up the show with some PodSafe music, a brand new band to the Nursing Show, a band called Uncle Seth, and the song To Be an Angel. If you like what you hear, there's a link in the show notes and also a link to pick up their music over on iTunes. In the meantime, don't forget, I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. I'll be back again next week with another episode on Friday here of The Nursing Show. And in the meantime, remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
Does it take